The following podcast was recorded at the Presbyterian Church in Burlington on September 28th, 2014.
I don't know. Who says preaching isn't a contact sport? I mean, I'm working up a sweat already, but we'll see how long the rope stays on. Please join me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Oh God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When he was a boy, Henry Brooks Adams was proud of his father, Charles Francis Adams, who had been an advisor to American presidents, who had served as the ambassador to Great Britain. And so one day, young Henry made this entry into his diary, a diary which he kept for a good part of his life. He wrote, "Went fishing with my father. The most glorious day of my life." Henry grew up. He won a Pulitzer Prize for his book, The Education of Henry Adams. That day spent with his father was so memorable to him that he was making references to it 30 years later. How sad it is then to contrast what his father wrote in his diary on that same significant date. Henry's father wrote, "Went fishing with my son, a day wasted. The most glorious day of my life, a day wasted." Now, no doubt, Charles Adams was a busy, influential man, but you wonder if his patience was tested by all the sitting and waiting that often happens with fishing. You wonder if he was aggravated by mistakes that his son made, the questions his son asked, or the lack of concentration or good fishing technique that his son lacked. You wonder if his patience was sorely tested by the need to get back to the office and do something really, really important. Now, like Charles Francis Adams, the father, the Apostle Paul, to my mind, gets knocked off the pedestal a little bit in our scripture lesson as he reacts harshly to John Mark because John Mark has done something that Paul just can't forgive. What could have been a great day in John Mark's life becomes a real day of deep hurt. Paul's rejection of John Mark is not Paul's finest hour. But it does have the effect of reminding us that the church is made up of very fallible human beings who don't always practice what they preach. And for me, I think the word is schadenfreude. You know how like you enjoy it when something happens to somebody else? For me, I had that feeling of schadenfreude when I see Paul's feet of clay in this story. Now, what do we know about John Mark? Acts doesn't tell us a whole lot. We do know that in Acts 12, verse 12, the church in Jerusalem gathered at the home of John Mark and his mother Mary to pray for the apostle Peter when Peter was in prison. John Mark was a young man, and we're not sure exactly how old he is at this point, but he was a young man. He was a first-generation Christian who grew up in the church at a time of incredible excitement, but also incredible danger. Later, we learn that John Mark had accompanied Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey, but partway through the journey, John Mark had left and returned home to Jerusalem. Acts 13:13 tells us, "Then Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. John, however, left them and returned to Jerusalem." Now, Luke, who is the author of Acts, doesn't tell us why John Mark left the trip. We can only speculate. So let's speculate together. What are some reasons that a young man might leave a trip right in the middle and go home?
Homesick.
Homesick. Okay.
Someone at home is ill.
Someone at home is ill. John Mark would have been responsible for taking care of his mom. Sure. Sure. Other reasons. It just picks up and leaves right in the middle of the trip.
Friend getting married.
A friend getting married. Okay. Could be. Could be. That's right. That might have been more important at the time. Anything else?
He was frightened.
He was frightened. Ah, okay. Okay. Any other thoughts? I wonder, did he have trouble with Paul as a leader, but couldn't say it? Did his youthful enthusiasm cause him to commit to something that he really couldn't follow through on? Did he jump into a commitment that really required a lot more preparation and experience than he had? I don't know, Amanda, is this part of what young adult volunteers go through? Sometimes the doubts creep in, right? Okay, just checking. Is it perfectly normal? How many of us have been excited about a new opportunity only to discover that we were in way over our heads? Did Paul and Barnabas... Paul looks at this as John Mark's failure. Did Paul and Barnabas fail to train John Mark completely? Have you ever been in a position where you weren't given the tools or the knowledge, the training to accomplish a job? But yet you, I see some nodding heads. Yep, that happens. Continental Can Factory, back during college, worked in the factory in the summer, and the boss put me on this fancy machine that stacked cans up and so on and so forth. Long story short, I broke the machine, which took a lot of doing. Some of my coworkers were thrilled because they thought I was practicing industrial sabotage. No, I wasn't. I just wasn't trained on this machine. But nonetheless, as I was walked off the floor by the foreman, I could see one of my older buddies just give me the thumbs up, like, okay, kid, you're all right. Whatever John Mark's reasons for not continuing on the journey, Paul felt so strongly about it, he was willing to end his partnership with Barnabas. Now, Barnabas is the very person, as we learned last week, Barnabas is the very person who stuck up for the Apostle Paul, who said, hey, listen, Paul's all right. You know, I've seen what he's done. I've heard him preach. I know his story. I know you're all scared of him, but I'm here to vouch for him. But the disagreement became so sharp that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark with them and sailed away to Cyprus. Now, I've always imagined this scene with Barnabas going over to John Mark and, you know, just kind of putting his arm around John Mark and saying, hey, listen, kid, Paul gets this way sometimes, you know? I mean, he writes, if we're in Christ, we're a new creation, the past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. He writes, Christ Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, so that we too might walk in newness of life. He writes, forgive one another as God has forgiven you. But he has a little trouble, kid, putting those words into real action. So why don't you come with me? Why don't you work with me? Paul can hold a grudge with the best of them. Maybe it's best if we just let him go his own way. Barnabas gives John Mark the second chance that Paul simply won't give him. Barnabas saw the hurt in the young man's eyes, the rejection, the disappointment. But Barnabas saw something else. He saw the potential. He saw something special in the life, the faith, the enthusiasm, the spiritual gifts that this young man had. And so Barnabas gives him a second chance. I mean, let's face it. At some point in life, each one of us has needed that second chance, would you say? Sometimes the teacher or the parent gets frustrated, loses patience, and the student doesn't have the best of experiences. Those of us who are parents need to accept that our children just might be able to learn more from someone else who is less emotionally attached. Think about teaching a young person to drive. I rest my case. Or coaching a young person in sports. But what about a young person who loses a parent due to death, addiction, mental illness, an ugly divorce, or a parent who has just abandoned the family? One night, back in the late 1950s, one of my sisters brought a stray home one night. Wasn't a stray animal, was a stray human being. Let's call him Peter. So, Peter had been at this party, and Peter had had way too much to drink. So my sister brought him home. Well, my father, Johnny O'Brien, who probably was not unacquainted with that particular condition from earlier in his life, welcomed Peter, sat up with Peter all night, and nursed him. And then Johnny and my mother, Peggy, extended a welcome to Peter to stay with our family. The reason was they were able to look through the drunkenness because this Peter was the child of a father who had totally abandoned the family. And the family had been thrown into chaos. He just needed to know somebody loved him. So we took him in. He lived with us kind of off and on for a while. He went on. He got married a beautiful Irish girl from the Bronx in New York City. And they built a family together. But Peter never forgot what my parents, and particularly my father, had done for him. And so every birthday, Peter, and his wife and the kids would come with a cake for Papa. Johnny O'Brien had become their Papa. And they loved him. They adored him. And the relationship went on, and Peter got his life together. Peter moved up through corporate ranks. He hadn't finished college. He almost finished college, but nonetheless, He went and did some financial work for a company. And long story short, by the end of his career, Peter was the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. God's honest truth. God's honest truth. He never forgot where he came from, and he never forgot what my parents, especially my dad, had done for him. And Peter and I spoke at my dad's funeral. And so here's this captain of industry, if you will, saying, "Johnny O'Brien was my hero." Wow. Wow. Johnny O'Brien was his hero. Luke tells us that Barnabas and John Mark went off on their journey. But we don't hear a lot about what happens as they work together. We also don't hear anything in Luke about John Mark's further interaction with Paul. But there is a surprising reference to John Mark in Paul's second letter to Timothy. Paul's imprisoned, and he writes, "Make every effort to come and see me as soon as you can," writing to Timothy. And then he says to Timothy, "Bring Mark with you. I find him a useful helper in my work." We don't know exactly what happened, but apparently Paul and John Mark are able to reconcile. One final thing you need to know about John Mark. The young man whom Paul rejected, who almost didn't get any further in the Christian life and work than that first failure. John Mark grew up to be the author of the Gospel of Mark. John Mark may not have been in Paul's plans at one point, but God certainly had something that John Mark could do, and Barnabas was a big part of that plan. Barnabas, the son of encouragement, was in the right place at the right time to make a difference in a young man's life by giving him a second chance. John Mark didn't get to go on the second missionary journey with Paul, but Mark's gospel took its place in the New Testament, and for eternity, Mark and Paul will be linked together in the New Testament, each in their own way as powerful witnesses to the love of Jesus Christ. We all need a Barnabas at some time in our lives. And I'm going to invite you now to just take a minute and a half. And I've got the watch. Take a minute and a half right now before we sing our next hymn to think about that one person or a couple of people who have been Barnabas for you in your life. Just think about them, give thanks for them in the silence of your own heart. Amen. Our hymn is...
Today's sermon was delivered by Michael O'Brien, interim pastor. This podcast was produced by the Presbyterian Church in Burlington, 335 Cambridge Street, Burlington, Mass., and edited by James McNinch. If you can't visit us in person, then visit our website at www.burlingtonpres.org. This podcast is copyright 2014 and provided under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. That means you have permission to download and give away copies of this podcast.